Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
So I have a very simple message for Russia. We know what you are doing, and you will not succeed.
For over a year, Observer journalist Carol Cadwallader, who broke the Cambridge Analytica scandal, has been talking to Peter Dukes, the writer behind the hit podcast Untold, the Daniel Morgan murder.
This whole story is about information, disinformation, propaganda, and the way that is used and the way that it's weaponized. In reporting this story, what has happened is I found myself on the front line of that.
And their greatest ally actually is the media.
This is information warfare.
The man behind Brexit, Mr. Nigel Farage.
Robert Swan Mueller.
I care deeply about the rule of law. What has never changed and will never change are our values.
From the makers of Untold, this is Dial M for Mueller.
Along with Carol Cadwallader, we'll be reporting on the front line of this information warfare with everything concerning Trump, Russia, Brexit, and why Britain needs a Mueller inquiry.
It's Sunday night on the 4th of November. It's 8 p.m. We're tired. What are we doing in a podcast studio, Carol?
I'm here and you're here helping in this mission, which is that I am deeply, deeply frustrated by what is happening in Britain and the lack of investigation into the multiple crimes that we either know were committed or are alleged to have been committed during the EU referendum. We are less than 6 months away from when we exit the European Union. I've been investigating this for 2 years now. There's all sorts of investigations which have been unleashed, but they're piecemeal. And the sort of drum I've been trying to bang is that America has Trump, who is worse. I mean, I think we can say that. But it also has Robert Mueller.
Robert Mueller.
And it has a Mueller inquiry. And it's become really patently obvious that this is what we desperately need to have in Britain.
So Robert Mueller is the special counsel for a congressional appointed body of the FBI investigating Russian interference in the 2016 presidential elections and potential collusion with the Trump campaign. It is a very large inquiry. It has dozens of lawyers, some of the top lawyers in the US, on money laundering, on data analytics, on troll farms, and on cryptocurrencies. It has an amazing team and already has assembled some about 6 or 7 indictments. These are indictments, speaking indictments. People have been indicted in the US over this issue, and they've named 30 amazingly detailed indictments.
And they've arrested people.
They've arrested people mainly for lying, for not being honest inquiry, because they have amazing powers. They like them or loathe them, the Americans believe in the rule of law.
And yeah,
and they give their white collar crimes. You know, Enron. What happens in Enron?
But what's kind of amazing about this is that it's so, you know, it's so partisan in America. You know, it's Congress, it's completely dysfunctional. But nonetheless, this really vital institution, which is about respecting the rule of law, and that's been enshrined in this Mueller investigation, is there. And we don't have it in Britain. And there is a blindness and an unwillingness to see that actually the same forces, the same dark money, the same misuse of data, the same connections through to the Kremlin, the same connections through to the US outright. They are all here in Brexit too.
So what the Americans have the advantage of is because law enforcement is involved, they get the data. The indictments we've had so far reveal a lot of Russian troll farms, reveal the GRU, the Russian military intelligence, hacking emails from, in the US, from the Democratic Party. Yet we know GRU is active in the UK. Thanks to Bellingcat, we know they helped target a Russian former spy in Salisbury. They were probably behind the Polonium attack. And yet we have no information, unlike the Mueller
report. So what Russia has unleashed upon America is information warfare. And it has done this by weaponizing the US social media platforms. It's very, very sophisticated. It is very, very complicated. And what Mueller is doing is untangling that. But these same social media platforms, they're international. They're also where our own politics and public discourse is being conducted. And exactly the same forces were at work during the referendum. And now, still now as well, this is all still where it's happening. It is really complicated. I mean, you kind of underestimate how complicated this story is. But that is why you need a central authority which takes control of all these multiple different investigations that are going on.
You're right. It's drawing these strands together. So the three big domains, if you like, one is Trump, and we'll look at how a certain figure in the news in Britain today is involved in the Trump campaign, but also in the Brexit campaign, and also has Russian connections. But then the levels of those connections, the kinds of connections, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's data, sometimes it's personal connections, isn't it? So you have three layers, you have three domains and three levels of intervention.
And at the heart of it all, it's really interesting. I think it's always worth remembering this. At the heart of this all are the tech platforms and the behaviour of the tech platforms and the unaccountability. And the way, for example, that Facebook has refused to come and answer questions to Parliament. This is at the centre of it all. And so you've always got to come back to that.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, because of Mueller and subpoenas in the US, Zuckerberg was forced to come to US Congress.
They're actually handing over very, very little. And the US committees which are looking into this, for example, Adam Schiff, has been completely frustrated still with what Facebook's handed over. But at the same time, the only things we've got in Britain are the kind of the crumbs from the table.
Yep.
So actually, it was one of those committees handed over stuff to the British Parliament. And that's the only way we found out, even about the most basic level. You know, there's the most basic stuff, which was that advertisements placed which were paid in Russian rubles. So like the lowest hanging fruit on the trees, when we know that there's much, much more sophisticated and more difficult to bot stuff going on these platforms, too.
So as we're going forward, you know, looking at Trump, Russia, Brexit, and we have, I think, multiple strands to these connections and multiple personalities involved. Part of your mission, isn't it, is that it's not just about what happened in 2016 with the EU referendum. It's not just about the election of Trump. It's about all future elections, because whatever happened with 2016...
It's
still happening.
It's absolutely happening now. And one of the really, really frightening and dystopian things about this is that if an election was called tomorrow, we have absolutely no guarantees that it will be free and fair. And in fact, I can categorically say that it wouldn't be, because it's all going to be mediated by these massive platforms and we have absolutely no way of tracking the money or data which goes through them. And our electoral laws do not work. And the most scary thing about this, Parliament, so the parliamentary committee which was set up to look into this, which is being headed by Damien Collins, they did this really good report and they've pointed all this out and they've said this needs immediate attention. It's made 42 recommendations to the government and the government's rejected 39 of them. And it's just so complacent and blind and willfully ignorant and dangerous. And our press honestly has been missing in action. And our broadcasters have been missing in action.
So we're an alternative broadcasting corporation to keep people informed, up to date, and to clarify. So let's wind back. Let's just follow one figure who's been in the news recently, who may be able to clarify the connections between Trump, Brexit, and Russia. Now, tell us about somebody I think you might have even met, a very interesting chap who's been in the news recently. His name is Aaron Banks. Who is Aaron Banks?
Aaron Banks is a very central figure in all of this, and it is because of his alliance with another very key figure, Nigel Farage.
Nigel Farage being?
Nigel Farage, of course, being the central character in the UK Independence Party. So that was his political party.
UKIP.
UKIP, intent upon taking Britain out of the EU. And Nigel Farage was the figurehead for this alternative Leave campaign. We had sort of two big campaigns during the EU referendum, which were supporting the Leave movement. And Nigel Farage, his was the
rock and this punk campaign.
It was like the punk campaign, and it was more inflammatory. It used more obviously kind of
racist
imagery. Can I say racist?
I think it's racist. The immigration, the whole poster, I would think it's that sort of opinion.
Yeah. And so it was Nigel Farage's campaign that was bankrolled by this character who is now sort of becoming something of a figure on the national stage, Aaron Banks. So Nigel Farage is a really, A, a central figure in all of this, and B, he's somebody who you can see these links through very directly. So through Nigel Farage, we really see how intimately Brexit is connected to the Trump campaign and also to Mueller's investigation.
So if as an American listener or anybody not understanding what are the Trump-Russia-Brexit connections, we have a photograph, difficult to see on a podcast, but there's a classic photograph explains these connections, or at least puts them together in one golden lift. Can you describe that photograph? Because I think it's in the header of your Twitter account.
Yeah, well, I have a kind of funny personal history with this photograph because my entry point into this story was via Aaron Banks's associate, who's a man called Andy Wigmore. And Andy Wigmore is the person who took that photograph.
My goodness.
It was a really significant occasion because it was the first visit to Donald Trump by a foreign politician. And Nigel Farage swanned in there, and Andy was with him and Aaron Banks was with him. And they took that photo in front of the Golden Lift. Now, very shortly afterwards, I just stumbled into this story because I started looking at Cambridge Analytica. And that led me to the Leave EU campaign. So I trotted off to meet Andy Wigmore in Westminster, and he'd just come back from Trump's inauguration. Anyway, and he took out his mobile phone, he started leafing through it, and he had all these photos.
Brilliant.
So from behind the scenes of the inauguration, inside Trump Tower, and these photos in front of the lift.
And there's also included in those photographs are Rahim Kassan, which links again to America, Breitbart, Bannon, because he was the London editor of Breitbart.
So Rahim Kassan is a really key figure. And I think it's really worth slowing on him for a moment.
Yeah.
Because he got the job. Steve Bannon, who, of course, you know, we know about campaign manager for Trump.
After Manafort was left, it was Bannon.
Editor-in-chief of Breitbart and also vice president of Cambridge Analytica.
Right.
And a sort of a key ally of Robert Mercer, who's the big funder of Donald Trump. So Raheem's a really interesting character in all this. Bannon and Mercer deliberately and strategically wanted to draw Britain into the same power nexus that was going on in the States. So essentially setting up the same kind of propaganda machine that they'd set up in the States with Breitbart. So he brought Breitbart to London in 2014.
14 it opened.
That's
yeah.
it. And Rahim Kassam was who he made the first editor of it. So Rahim had I must call him Kassam. Let's not use their first names. I don't want to be cozy with these people.
Kassam
is now, he's kind of Steve Bannon's main man now. So Kassam, it's very interesting because he had a really major role in UKIP.
He was running for leader at one point,
He was running for leader, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was kind of speechwriter for Farage. And Kassam was high up in UKIP and ran Breitbart. And then doesn't Farage say in some video somewhere lurking on the internet, will no doubt find an audio replay, I couldn't have won Brexit without Breitbart.
Well done, madam. Well done, Breitbart. You helped with this hugely.
Yeah, so it comes back to this thing. Bannon and Mercer playing a key role in Brexit in a multitude of different ways. And Breitbart is one of them. Cambridge Analytica is another one of them. This US dark money, which is funding things like the Taxpayers Alliance and that whole network of think tanks
in Tufton Street.
55 Tufton Street. There's US kind of dark money all over this. My colleagues at The Guardian reported that Nigel Farage was a figure of interest.
About a year ago.
Person of interest in Mueller's inquiry.
We don't know why that is. He's denied it. But there are various connections. Just before we get to banks with Farage, there's obviously his proximity and his friendship with Trump. He appears at various rallies in Mississippi. You know, he also visits a significant figure in the whole Mueller investigation, which is Julian Assange. Julian Assange is alleged by certain people, and certainly is a focus of investigation, as a possible conduit whereby
it's
these...
It's not possible. He's been named in Mueller's indictments.
As the conduit.
Well, it's what are they called? Organisation One or something, which is patently WikiLeaks.
Well, WikiLeaks.
So WikiLeaks is now... we don't even have to speculate about that. WikiLeaks has been identified by Mueller's investigations as the conduit for Russian military intelligence
hacking
operation, hacking operation, and disseminated Hillary Clinton's stolen emails.
Now, I happen to know, for various reasons, the various UKIP members are close to Assange for quite a long time, but we have a vivid example of Farage's connection with Julian Assange, and that happened, I think, sometime after Brexit. I think it was in November 2016. He was caught by BuzzFeed, I believe, coming out of the embassy. Is that not right, having visited Julian Assange?
Yeah, I mean, there's such an interesting story to tell about this, because I did a big piece about how Nigel Farage, he was in the States, he was visiting Donald Trump, he had dinner with him in Washington, the Trump Hotel, and then a few days later, he's caught tripping out down the stairs of the Ecuadorian embassy. And at the time, so BuzzFeed kind of caught him, and they said, what are you doing in there? And he was like, oh, I never discuss private visits, and that was it. And it was like, it was such a crazy time, you know, it was that sort of Trump had just become president. It was like madness. The world was on fire. And it sort of, Nigel Farage being this sort of pantomimey figure, it got lost in the news, in the news round. And but I you know, I had this really, really good source who said, look at the timings. Look at the timings and what happened shortly. What happened when he went into the embassy and what happened when he came out. And basically what happened was, I think it was within an hour, Julian Assange called a press conference and he announced that there was going to be a new leak, the Vault 7 leak. And it was, Trump was having a very difficult news week, and it kind of threw a bomb into the news cycle because it was these really significant revelations about what the CIA was up to in terms of surveillance of American people, all sorts of different things. So, yeah, so there we see with Nigel Farage, Julian Assange, Donald Trump and the Russian military intelligence agency. Just in that, I mean, those are facts. There's nothing I'm speculating about that. And so then that brings us to Nigel Farage's campaign and this figure, Aaron Banks. He won't be familiar to anybody in America, barely familiar to most of the people in Britain. But Aaron Banks is significant because he's the money man. He funded Nigel Farage's referendum campaign. He's actually the single biggest funder of the referendum, of Brexit. And more than that, he's the single biggest political donor in British history.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So a character, somebody like that who's pouring money into a political campaign in the biggest, the most consequential election in modern British history, they need to be squeaky clean. We need to know who they are. We need to know where that money has come from. This needs to be absolutely above board. And what it transpires is that it is not. And it's so interesting because through Aaron Banks, we see these very deep connections, but I think it's really important to keep focus on the money.
Yeah.
And Aaron Banks is the money. So Aaron Banks is the single biggest funder of Brexit. It's Aaron Banks in the news today. And Aaron Banks, yes, as well as the key connections to the US outright, which we see in that photo in the lift, we also have these intriguing and troubling and disturbing links through to the Russian government.
Just winding back here, he's said to be the biggest donor in British history. I mean, obviously it's a one-off thing, it's an EU referendum, extraordinary time in British history and a very decisive vote. I'm never quite sure. People talk about 8 million, 12 million, a lot of figures floating around. Do we know the exact amount he is alleged to have donated to Leave EU?
It's all totally opaque and untransparent, and there's a whole array of different numbers floating around. And the thing about Banks is that he sort of says, it's my money. He said, how do you pay for Brexit? He says, my money. It's money that came from my bank account. But that is just simply not true, because he's got this enormously complicated offshore corporate structure, which is deliberate. And why do people put money offshore? They do it so that it's dark and untransparent. So the whole way that sort of our electoral law works is that we control the amount of money that's spent in elections. And it's this very British principle. We want a, you know, we want a level playing field. And so during the campaign period, we have limits. Yeah. And you can't go over those limits. And if you do, it's a criminal offence.
But it's not just the amount of money spent. And there are questions we will do another episode about vote leave and believe.
Yes.
It's permissible. Explain what a permissible.
It's what I wanted to explain. Yeah. So one of the things about it is we only allow British money in British elections. It kind of, it's such a basic rule. Otherwise, what's to, you know, stop any country just deciding to like bankroll the whole thing and get the change?
They're not living here. Why would they?
Exactly. So permissible means British. So British individual, British company. They're the only people who can put money into British elections. And remember, of course, this was about British sovereignty. So it's a pretty key aspect. And yeah, the Electoral Commission have said is that they aren't convinced that it's a permissible donation.
Which means they don't think it doesn't look like so far it's come from a UK citizen.
Exactly. And so this it's just such a fundamental question. This is the most consequential election.
That may have not been funded by British money.
That may not be.
But they suspect
funded.
Hasn't been.
And then we get into this really, really problematic area now. So that's now become a serious criminal investigation.
Can I just ask you, have somebody, you know, I've been tangential, this is not legal. From my understanding is that he has this big country house. This is just a personal thing about Aaron Banks.
I love, let's talk about Aaron Banks' country house.
Big country house, which he can't afford to live in.
And I love it.
He rents out for weddings. He lives in the servants' quarter.
No, he lives in a cottage in the grounds. It's too beautiful. So it's amazing. And he doesn't even own the... So this is like Aaron Banks, the billionaire, the biggest political donor in British history, who gave upwards of £9 million to the referendum campaign. And, you know, there's all these, you know, question marks over where his money comes from. But yes, Let's just look at the very obvious thing. So he owns this big manor house in the country that he poses for photographs in front of, but he rents it out for weddings and it's got a mortgage on it.
£250,000 mortgage.
I know.
But also, if you had 8 million knocking around or 12 or whatever you wanted to spend on Brexit, you might just take a little fraction to pay your mortgage off, you think.
Well, it's funny, isn't it, that even I don't have to, like, rent out my flat, you know.
It's not quite as grand and capacious as Down Manor, is it?
He lives in this much smaller house in the grounds. I mean, it's just all for show.
One of the reasons why you're immediately in the firing line is because, and one of the bits where we kind of joined together, was evidence of Aaron Banks's meetings with the Russian embassy.
One of the things I found in trying to investigate this world is that it's not all hidden.
Yeah,
there's so much of it which is out in the open and on the surface. And so one of the things I find really interesting is, of course, is that Aaron Banks and Nigel Farage, they're both very overt about this. They support Putin.
Yeah.
They support Russia.
Nigel Farage in 2013 said he's a strong man of Europe. There's an Express article how Nigel Farage thinks Putin's one of the greatest things in Europe at the moment.
Yeah, and he's in the European Parliament. He's, you know, he's got a very consistent record of voting in this far right pro-Putinist European bloc.
And also appears on RT.
And he doesn't just appear on RT. RT is the state Russian broadcaster, and it gives him lots of money. He's paid by the Russian government. But, you know.
And he met the Yakovenko. Having said, he's very funny about this, Nigel, because he is key, because he's Banks.
Farage, if you don't mind. Not Nigel. Let's not cosify them.
Farage is very interesting on this because he's denied having met the Russian ambassador. And yet there's a picture of him in 2013 with the Russian ambassador. When confronted by a journalist, finally a Der Spiegel journalist about 2 years ago, said there's no Russian connections. So they're both very wary. All I'd say is, despite these overt ideological alignments in the public domain, when confronted, as Aaron Banks was, he says, I had one meeting with the ambassador.
So it wasn't even a matter of confronting, actually. He put this in his autobiography, so-called autobiography, The Bad Boys of Brexit.
Written by
a journalist called Isabel Oakeshott.
Right.
So what I think is really interesting to say about this is that there's a strategy at work here that Banks uses and uses it consistently. And it's always to try and put out as much in the open as possible so that there's no kind of big kapow. Aha, you had this meeting, gotcha.
Yeah.
So they always do this thing, but they turn it into a joke.
Yes, Oleg. Didn't he say he met a guy called Oleg who was a KGB man in London?
Oleg, that's right. So he said in the book, he sort of says, oh, yeah, we met this guy called Oleg at the UKIP party conference. And Oleg's the KGB's man in London. And he invited us over to the embassy to meet Yakovenko. Oh, top geezer. God, we drank 8 bottles of vodka and then moved on to
Stalin
brandy.
Stalin special vodka.
Yeah, that's right. Special brandy, I think it was.
Yeah.
So that was all out there. And for 2 years, that's the line that he's maintained. One boozy lunch at the Russian. I mean, he slipped one time with me. He said it was 2 boozy lunches. And I was like, that's interesting, Aaron. You say one. How many lunches was it? And so for about 18 months, I'd consistently trolled him on the trigger going, how many lunches again? How many lunches, Aaron? And so but then what cracked wide open this summer, which you, of course, were a key part in, was this stash of emails that told a very different story.
I have them here.
So the whole thing about reporting this story is that as a journalist, you can only get so far. And that's why I've just been agitating and you just want the authorities to take over. You want the authorities to take over, or at least you want like a massive team of journalists from that hasn't happened. So we've been sort of scrabbling around and like looking for crumbs wherever you can find them. And so suddenly having all these questions about Russia and Aaron Banks and his relationship with the Russian government, suddenly it kind of cracked wide open. And there were these emails that spelled out that he had lied. And the interesting thing you always come back to is, why had he lied? If there was nothing to hide, why did he lie about it?
And why react the way he did? Just to maybe fill in some detail, you know, we were talking about permissible donors, right? you know, that there is now investigation of the permissible donors to the Brexit campaign, this 8 or 12 million, and they're looking at the Isle of Man. What those emails we got hold of revealed is that Aaron Banks was in protracted discussions going over months, I don't know where they went, with an oligarch and the Russian embassy about lucrative diamond privatization deal, the Alrosa deal, which was going around the same time as the Rosneft deal. We'll talk about Trump in that relationship. While we are looking, you know, wondering where he got his money from, and the NCAA are now looking at that, there are discussions in those emails with the Russians about big gold consolidation deals, diamond privatization. Which raises the question, though Banks completely denies over the one ahead, why were the Russians dangling all these deals? Now, you follow the timeline immediately around Brexit, because the timeline of these meetings is one of the most important things, isn't it?
Yeah. I think to go back to Aaron Banks and the questions of why he's living in the little house in the grounds and where he got his money from, why he's hanging out at the Russian embassy in the week that they launched the Leave EU campaign, on the very day that they launched it.
Vodka's good.
Vodka's good.
And it's Sunday now, and on Tuesday we have the ICO reporting. You said the biggest ever information commissioner investigation in the world, data investigation.
I think it's going to be dramatic revelations. I mean, that's really interesting because I don't know, you know.
You have no tip? They haven't leaked anything to you?
No. But I think, I tell you what. I have a hunch about certain things, and I certainly have a hunch that we're going to hear more about Aaron Banks, actually.
Yeah, with that ICO report, it looks like Aaron Banks is going to be in the news some more. So we'll be back very soon to follow the continuing updates and extraordinary scandal and saga around Trump, Brexit, Russia.
Untold, Dial M for Mueller, why Brexit, Trump, Russia needs a special investigation. Hosted by Carol Cadwallader and Peter Dukes. Edited by D.V. Amir. Music by Shemaili Mir. An Untold podcast produced by Duende Productions and Flameflower Studios. Untold. Dial M for Mueller.
Junkies,
are you having a tough time navigating the twists and turns of the Trump-Russia investigation?
So to be clear, you want easily digestible and succinct reporting on the Mueller investigation?
That's what he said, and that's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
It's time you check out Mueller, She Wrote.
Mueller, She Wrote is a weekly podcast where three female comics take a deep dive into the most consequential investigation in modern political history.
I'm your host, AG, and I have to remain anonymous because I work for Trump's executive branch. Join me, along with Jaleesa Johnson and Jordan Coburn, as we report the facts, break exclusive news, and bring it all to you with just the right amount of snark.
Then we top it off with our Fantasy Indictment League, exclusive interviews from guests including Asha Rangappa, Chris Cluey, Rabia Oshadri, and Scott Stedman, followed by conjecture, all while we speculate on who is...
Fucked. So tune in for consistent updates and reliable coverage on Manafort, Cohen, the Trump family, Russia, and everything Mueller, and make Mondays great again.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Mueller She Wrote, and check out our website at MuellerSheWrote.com. You'll be glad you did.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.